Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to this edition of the Hagman & Hagman Report. Our guest this segment is the senior editor of courtroomwatch.org, Eric Hughes Jones. This is his first time on the program. He's talking about a number of interesting storylines, from the incarceration of Gary Hunt to the Bundy Ranch and the court proceedings that have been ongoing there as well. And we're going to get back to him in just a second.
You know, I like what he's saying, and I'll tell you something. If you're listening to this program, if you've listened to this program from the start, you know that the news weighs heavy on all of us. And sometimes our spouses, our wives, you know, when we get into research projects and things, our wives often take a back seat to what we're doing. And one way to show our appreciation, and I know here at the Hagman household, but one way to show the appreciation for my wife is to get her flowers. She loves getting flowers. Folks, I got a deal for you. Right now, Pro Flowers has a special offer just for our listeners. By the way, Pro Flowers, they're my go-to company for all things flower-related, gift-related. My goodness, that they can certainly and have certainly put a smile on the faces of many of the people I really care about. But right now, ProFlowers has got a special offer just for our listeners. You get $10 off of your purchase of $29 or more. You can't go wrong. This deal works on best-selling gifts like their 100 Blooms bouquet, a dozen red roses, or even their totally unique plant gifts. My wife was really did so much work, and my daughter as well, here in the last, well, about a week ago, a couple of weeks ago, and I sent them both flowers. You should have seen the looks on their faces. They were just ecstatic and happy. And my wife, actually, I got my wife a small bonsai tree, and she loves it. Oh my goodness, she loves it. As something totally different, never expecting it. This is one of the best companies, I believe, this is the best company to put that smile on the face of the people that you love. Folks, again, get $10 off your purchase of $29 or more. To snag this great deal, just go to proflowers.com, enter code Hagman, that's H-A-G-M-A-N-N at checkout. You know, their bouquets, just to let you know, they're guaranteed to be fresh for 7 days or your money back. We've seen them last for 2 weeks and longer. They have a 7-step quality check, which means their flowers are always awesome. Their website, guys, if you're like me, man, I like simple. This is as simple as you can get. You can order flowers ahead of time for any date you want and get back on with your day. Pro Flowers is a no-brainer gift for a birthday and anniversary. I know you got one coming up, or for every occasion, or no occasion whatsoever, or just as a thank you. Put that smile on that special someone's face. Again, Pro Flowers, special offer just for Hagman and Hagman listeners. Get $10 off your purchase of $29 or more. All you have to do, use Hagman at checkout. Again, proflowers.com, enter code Hagman, H-A-G-M-A-N-N, proflowers.com, enter code Hagman at checkout to get this special deal. And hurry up, because it's not going to last long. Again, our guest is Eric Hughes Jones. His website, courtroomwatch.org. And by the way, I've seen judges sitting in trials charge juries very narrow, with very narrow instructions, where their only ability or their only choice is to find the person guilty in the criminal trials. I've seen that. And I've also seen a couple of occasions of jury nullification, which is a really wonderful thing to see, especially in those absurd cases that you get, that you talked about. So, Eric Hughes Jones, back to you, sir.
Thanks. Well, it is. Judges will commit, well, let's just put it bluntly, they're committing jury tampering when they instruct a jury to do anything. I mean, other than if a jury needs a definition of a word, they can order out for a dictionary, and if they need clarification on something. But, right, it's intimidation, and your son is exactly right. It's completely upside down. People are guilty until proven innocent now. And the police are trained that way, unfortunately, and it's creating a paranoid and aggressive mindset in the police as well. So the judges are committing jury tampering whenever they try to convince a jury that they must interpret the law this way or that way, or only as I, the judge, give it to you. And then once again, it's the jury has every right and a duty, not just a right, but a duty to vote their conscience. And if that law doesn't seem to be right, and once again, the most important concept, we talked about this in the last half hour, no victim, no crime. Society or the state cannot be a victim. Unless you injured somebody personally or their property, then you can talk. You can work it out usually in civil court if it's a property crime. And so, you know, it's very important that people remember that, teach your children that. No victim, no crime. Society or the state cannot be a victim. That would be socialism, or which is just a light duty of communism. And so we're trying to keep this republic on track here. We are not a democracy. We're a republic. And the reason is, in a democracy, 51% of the government thieves can vote to steal the rest of our stuff from the other 49%. And that's a true democracy, and that's not right. In republic, the rights of the individual are paramount, and they're supreme. So we talked about that. So jury tampering is what a judge is doing, instructing a jury. It is upside down. We have to get back to innocent until proven guilty instead of vice versa. No victim, no crime. And a quick up before we get back to the kind of conceptual stuff, I just want to give people a quick update on Gary Hunt. Apparently he got a letter that he was going to be arrested and turned himself in to the Sacramento County Sheriff, and they're doing what's called a courtesy hold for the marshals because they really don't have any lawful reason to hold him. But he wanted to avoid the raid, so to speak, and so he turned himself in, and now I guess he's going to get transferred back to Oregon. But this is so important that we learn how to operate, and this is where the power is. See, it doesn't really matter. Ultimately, we do not have three separate and equal branches of government. The power rests in the courts. Look what just happened to Trump. I mean, he issued an executive order. That should be, they've been doing that for a while, for better or for worse, usually for worse for us. But the executive order was issued, and the court said, nope, we rule otherwise. So it's very scary that all the power rests in the court.
Can you explain? Eric, can you explain how a single judge in a federal court in whatever the 9th or 5th district can stop an entire the will of the president? Can you explain how that happens?
I'll explain how it happened and how it continues to happen and get worse. It started with the Judiciary Act of 1789. And that was rammed through by a bunch of Freemasons with Oliver Ellsworth at their lead. And I can read you, I'll see if I can dig them up before I leave for the night, but the comments that other senators at the time, there was only like 20 or 30 of them, because it was just the beginning of the Union of the Republic, the Union of the States, which should be independent. But the Judiciary Act of 1789 is where it began, and that's what took our courts pretty much out of common law and set us up under admiralty law, which is arbitrary and nebulous and treats every one of us like we're a conscript in the military or on a naval vessel, and that's how we're being treated. And if you doubt it, look at the flag in most of the courtrooms. It has an orange or yellow fringe around the perimeter. Looks a little odd, a little different from your typical flag, which is just stars and stripes to the edge. And the flag with the fringe is the admiralty flag, and that's how you're being judged. And when we get into the bonding issue next, I actually use the word admiralty. They use the word admiralty on the Oregon state government website, under laws of admiralty. And they're not only are they calling all the waterways admiralty, they're calling all the land in between the waterways under admiralty law as well. And that's why we see arbitrary, nebulous, militarized, I call it a militarized ecclesiastic court, judging people in statutory, arbitrary statutes made up by fellow members of the bar, in violation of common law, which is guaranteed under the Constitution and many other concepts and precepts. And that's so it started in 1789 with the Judiciary Act, and it got worse from there. We were all basically transferred from free men and free women into citizens, and the word citizen means subject. It does not mean a free individual. That happened in 1871 after the Civil War, and of course everybody knows about the further progression from there, 1913, and all everything that happened since then up to the Patriot Act. And now we're in a situation where they've given all the, I mean, there's courts, look at the FISA court, And they can just have a government agent come in and say, we want a blanket warrant. It's got to be general. We don't know who or what we're looking for, but we've got an idea. We just want to go in and check it out over there. And the courts, these secretive courts that we have now set up under the national security state that we live under, are issuing all these permission slips to three-letter agencies to do whatever they want to do. And that's not appropriate in a free republic. So we're a republic, not a democracy, for that very reason. And because people went to sleep and got in a comfort zone and more interested about entertainment or sports or vacations or holidays, all fine and dandy, but what did we all ever do, like, for freedom on a regular basis? My favorite old Battle Axe radio show host, I used to call him when I was younger, always used to say, what will you do for freedom? What are you going to do tomorrow? What'd you do yesterday? What do you got planned for next week? We all have to do something, and that's why I'm big on activism. I'd rather help out one person in a court situation than entertain a million people, and that's why your broadcast is so important, Mr. Hagman and Hagman. And Hagman, you have three now. I think it's so awesome you guys got the whole family in on this. It's great. That's really nice to see a family operation, independent media. I mean, what a great example. So I hope people really value this. And I'll try to bring you some good information tonight beyond what we've already talked about. So there's the update on Gary. He's going to be sent back to Oregon most likely. And people can find out a little more about his case on our website, courtroomwatch.com or .org, either one. So
you know,
important
what
that
gets
we remember
me about
the
Gary Hunt.
Sure.
I don't mean to interrupt there, but the information that he reported on came out in open court. That cannot be stressed enough, and we see that he's being he's being oppressed, censored, thrown in jail for refusing to take down something that was revealed in open court. It does not get any more oppressive than that. And, you know, back to what you said about the admiralty laws, a lot of people, it took me a long time to even grasp what you're saying here, because we have constitutional law, you know, you hear a lot of the rule of law, and then we can get into, you know, what's it, the United States versus the United States of America. There's all these different theories and also evidence out there that points to, you know, many different types of court systems and legal systems we follow, and it seems like the regular, average, everyday working American citizen gets the short end of the stick on this every time, while the corrupt people in power seem to never be held accountable for their action. And maybe in another show we can get into the law a little bit more and the breakdown of this. But, and this goes back to, you know, your birth certificate and you being made merchandise of, and property awards of the state, as you said, citizen means subject. And there's a lot there we can get into, but we'll save that for another time.
And before you even get back to anything else, I just want to let you know we're getting we're getting flooded with emails saying that your link to the jury nullification form is coming back with a 404 error. So,
you've got to be kidding me. It's happening again. try going to the blog. Go to the blog. We had that problem. They may be going to the old jury nullification flyer on documents page. Go to the blog on the home page. If you just scroll down from the original site, you should see jury nullification flyer. Copy this before they block it again, and then click onto the blog. Download it from there. Don't go to the documents page. That's where the old one is. And yeah, they blocked it. They may have blocked us again. In which case, we're going to post it up there again. Do you see how scared they are of jury nullification and the people making the final decision?
Yeah, I'm getting a 404 error on that as well. On the courtroom watch underneath. Yeah. So,
oh boy.
Okay.
I apologize for that. Yeah, we're gonna try again tomorrow, tonight.
Okay. All right. And I just want to make sure I got that in before you. So continue. Go ahead, sir.
Yeah. Well, you know what I'm gonna do? I'm gonna read it. I've got it written down. It'll only take me probably 2 or 3 minutes, not even. I'll make it quick. It says, people, you can record this broadcast and replay this, so you'll have a verbal kind of record, and you can copy it down at your leisure. And the title would be Jury Nullification. It's your right and your duty. So jury nullification, it's your right and your duty. For hundreds of years, jury nullification has occurred when a jury finds a defendant not guilty, even though the defendant may have opposed or rejected the code in question. It is not a violation to oppose or reject an immoral or unconstitutional code, and codes are not law when they are in opposition to the supreme law of the land, the Constitution. It's called the Supremacy Clause. Because the attorneys, judges, and local government make so much money passing unlawful codes and regulations, they continue to invent an illusion of criminal activity where there is none. This court for profit eventually destroys freedom in the community. Therefore, it is essential for you, the juror, to realize the importance of your role as the last blocker to a power-hungry court system and as the final enforcer of freedom among the people. Remember two things. Society, or the state, cannot be a victim. It is called a fictitious entity, meaning false or made up. Only an actual living man or woman can claim to be a victim. No victim, no crime. Number two, you are the judge, and the judge is nothing more than a referee with no authority to tell the jury how they can interpret the law. Any judge who instructs the jury is committing jury tampering, a felony. In almost every case, intimidation is used by the judge to manipulate and control the jury. Do not submit to the unlawful pressure from the judge. He or she has a very large financial stake in creating guilty verdicts, as the pension funds they rely upon for retirement are heavily invested in the private prison industry. As a juror, you have total immunity to vote your conscience, regardless of any threats by the jury tampering judge. Someone's freedom will rest in your hands if you are selected as a juror, and it is your right and your duty to judge the law as well as the facts. If the law is wrong, or if no living victim is injured, then the verdict is not guilty, and freedom wins for everyone, including you, the juror. And then I cite a case, the U.S. versus Dougherty, D-O-U-G-H-E-R-T-Y, 1972, quote, "The pages of history shine on instance of the jury's exercise of its prerogative to disregard instructions of the judge." U.S. versus Dougherty, 1972. So, let's add to the list of profit, and Mr. Hagman, you used the exact words that went through my mind today. It blew my mind, because I wanted to do a little more research today to make sure what I was coming on to talk about wasn't, you know, talking out my you-know-what. I actually had some research and took some notes, and it completely blew my mind. I had heard cases where in court were bonded, and I said, yeah, well, that pretty much makes sense. They make a fiduciary instrument out of every court case, including the small traffic tickets. And can you imagine? I mean, a town that I grew up in, Penfield, New York, had 170 people I heard one night in there, and they were running court five nights a week. This is a small upstate New York suburban town with very low crime. So they were just raking people in on minor statutory little code infractions and minor whatever, traffic violations, whatever, you could name it. But nobody a real criminal and no actual victim to any of the crime. And so anyway, I heard these cases were bonded. And so I figured I'd better look into this, and let me tell you, why don't I start here? Because this will be kind of the, here's an idea of some of the players in what is, and I'll describe it. A bond is taken out on every court case. The court earns all kinds of interest on the bond, and then they sell it by bundling them together into mortgage-backed securities and selling them as mutual fund investments. No joke. And I said, you got to be kidding me. So I looked into this. Listen to some of the players. Let me just start off by saying this. If you doubt me, look it up. Okay. CCH Insurance Services, the National Association of Surety Bond Producers, the Surety and Fidelity Association of America, the American Institute for Chartered Property Casualty Underwriters, Independent Insurance Agents of America, International Risk Management Institute, the Construction Risk Insurance Specialists, and the Reinsurance Association of America. That's just a thumbnail sketch. So what they're doing is they have what's called a bid bond, where it's the initial bid on your fiduciary instrument that has become out of a court case. Then you have a performance bond, which is the basically the insurance policy on the bid bond. And then there's a payment bond. And every single case that comes through the courts is bonded. The court's making a humongous fortune on these bonds because eventually they bundle them together and call it a mortgage-backed security and sell them in mutual fund plans. And guess who's buying these? Everyone from Goldman Sachs to the Chinese to the Vatican to the Bank of England to the, you name it, multinational corporations, contractors, entities of, not us, and what's floating the economy right now. And these are the biggest players. I mean, these are all some of the biggest blocks. These are where the money really is. It's in the insurance and the investment industries. They don't produce anything. Business, I guess you could call it. But, I mean, the players in this are unbelievable. So it's, you know, let me give you, listen, so here's some references if people want to go check this out. Because we'll start this way, and this will give me some bona fides, and people will know, you know, it's not just me. Suretybonds.org, listen to this reference. Questions about DOD performance bonds. Did you get that? Department of Defense performance bonds. They're selling bonds for the Department of Defense on the open market to whoever the highest bidder is. You don't own your DOD anymore, neither does I, neither do the United States people, nothing, gone. They've already sold it. Questions about DOD performance bonds, eligible for standard market rates from 1% to 3% of the bond amount. These codes are issued through the National Motor Freight Traffic Association. NielsenBonds.com. Providing the nation's most comprehensive surety bond programs, condo associations, fidelity bonds, construction licensee bonds, consumer credit repair, court bonds, C-O-U-R-T, court bonds, fidelity bonds, applications, etc. FreedomSchool.com, bonds that are issued must be indemnified. This is done when the prisoner signs the final court papers at a sentencing hearing. Surety bond on Wikipedia. Judicial bonds arise out of litigation that are posted by parties seeking court remedies or defending against legal action. Judicial bonds arise out of litigation that are posted by parties. Did you get that, people? Surityinfo.org. Judicial proceedings court bonds include injunction, appeal, indemnity to sheriff. Did you get that? Judicial proceedings court bonds. It includes injunctions, appeals, indemnity to sheriff. Gallant Insurance, specializing in contractor bonds, court bonds, bid bonds, and performance bonds. And so that's just like where you could go to look this up for yourself if you have any questions, folks. But there's no question. It's one of the biggest money-making monstrosities, and the money-making is nothing wrong with that if you're working hard, doing well, and you're you know, creating jobs. And I don't begrudge anybody being wealthy. That's great. I wish everybody was. But these people are not making money on anything righteous or just or anything to do with work. They're turning our flesh and our freedom by dragging us into court, into fiduciary instruments, and bundling them all together and selling it on the open market as a as an investment, long and short. Can you believe it?
No.
We only have about 2 minutes left till the break, but I don't understand how.
Can you hang with us for a little while longer? Okay, because are you? Well, wait a second. Hold the phone here.
Somebody gets a bond. Somebody gets charged. They get a bond.
Well, and
those bonds are being traded on the open market.
But this is not a court. This is not a an appearance bond. This is not a.
They're bonding.
You're talking
everything. If they can get your signature on a piece of toilet paper, they will bond it. No joke. This is what they're turning everything. That's why they're so desperate to have that Social Security number, because as soon as they can remove your name from it and turn you into a number, it's not attached to you as a human being anymore, and it's the ungodly number that people are selling you as a fiduciary instrument and making millions on you, me, your family, everyone out there listening, and not telling us and not educating us and maintaining the knowledge among a very few. A lot of judges are not even taught this. It's only the need to know.
When did this start? This court bond process?
That's a really good question. It looked like it went back to the early 1900s. I found a bond corporation that went back to 1908, I think. So this was like right around the time of the Civil War. I think it emanated from there forward. 1865, so you're talking, martial law. Go ahead.
All right. No, the Civil War, 1860s. Okay, I got that. All right. So it was around that time.
Around that time, it started really metastasizing into something dictatorial and controlist. Of course, they had the Judiciary Act of 1789 all set up, giving the courts basically, it really comes down to just court to judicial discretion, whatever they want to do. And you add to that the recent, you said, how does this happen before? And I gave you the reason it's still happening is because they're working off that infrastructure that was set up way back then. Before the ink was dry in the Constitution, they had the Maritime Admiralty Court set up, so we didn't have a chance from that time forward, and the courts got more powerful from there forward, because a lot of it relied on just arbitrary judicial discretion and judicial edict from the bench, even in defiance of their own precedents and their own court. Sometimes I've seen it happen. So once they got in that infrastructure set up, it was just a long, slow deterioration into what we have now. And they have what's now is called just judicial procedure law, where the judiciary and the administrative court, the highest judges in the state, will just make up whatever they want. And they don't even pass it in the legislature by statute with an enacting clause. They just run it through and call it judicial procedure law. They use that on me,
Eric,
to try to prevent the cameras from coming in the courtroom.
Eric, hold that thought. We are up against our break. When we come back, we're going to continue talking with Eric Jones. He will be with us till the end of the show. Don't go anywhere.
Visit HagmanReport.com for the news and articles that matter most. Stay tuned. We will be right back.
There shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, no, nor ever shall be.
Folks, I'm going to direct your attention to MasterPreps.com. MasterPreps.com. Wow. MasterPreps.com, the sponsor of our show, MasterPreps.com. That's MasterPreps.com. Take a visit there. High-quality items, made-in-America items. I mean, anything, everything you possibly want, from cooking utensils, cooking frying pans. It'll blow you away. Absolutely. Eric said,
it's insane. I mean, wow. Look at the products.
Folks, visit MasterPreps.com. Again, welcome to the Hagman and Hagman Report family. MasterPreps.com. I mean, wow. It's insane.
MasterPreps.com. Are you ready for what comes next?
Hi, I'm Grace Gonzalez from Chang Close in the Woods. We are an American family-owned company founded and built on skills and knowledge gained from responding to 18 major disasters in the U.S. and around the world. We found that most people don't have enough food and water to survive, let alone any medicinals to save their life. We're offering 25% off our must-have American Heritage Army kit. It contains 12 homeopathic remedies, a booklet that goes over everything in your kit, and our brand new book, Major Disasters Lessons Learned. Just enter coupon code HAGMAN. In life or a disaster, you must be able to take care of yourself. You may not be a medical doctor, and your grandmother and your great-grandmother probably weren't either, but they still knew how to minister to their family's health issues, and so can you. Check out our American Heritage Army's kit at www.changeswoods.com. Your life may depend on it.
Hello, everyone. This is Joe Charles, the guy whose voice is heard announcing for the Hagman and Hagman Report right here on YouTube and across the Global Star Radio Network. There have been many people wondering whose music is being played during those breaks. Well, you guessed it. And we're very pleased to announce that all that music and 11 brand new songs from the CD New Jerusalem is set for release on April 10th for download on iTunes. That means you can help support my ministry and be blessed by this awesome, inspiring recording. I have been fortunate to work with some phenomenal musicians from around the world that helped us put this recording together in the studio. Simply go to joecharlesmusic.com and click on the iTunes link. Or, if you'd rather have a CD, we'll send one right out to you. Just leave me your email and we'll get right back to you. And thanks to Doug and Joe Hagman for making this all possible. God bless.
And welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to our final segment on this edition of the Hagman and Hagman Report. Our guest is Eric Hughes Jones. He is the senior editor of courtroomwatch.org. Eric, I want to thank you for hanging on with us into this segment. We're sitting here in the break scratching our heads wondering, you know, asking a lot of questions back and forth. And this is an area I've done a lot of research on, but to be honest with you, I have a hard time wrapping my head around some of
it. We're over our heads, Eric. Help us out, brother.
Well, I am too. We're all in this together. I'm just a simple guy. I mean, but when the research takes me to the biggest players in the world, and it's saying, I forgot to read you the best part. Listen to this. This is from surety.info. Judicial and probate bonds, also referred to as fiduciary bonds, secure the performance on fiduciary's duties and compliance with court order, including administrators, executors, guardians, trustees, liquidators, receivers, and masters. Judicial proceedings, court bonds, include injunction, appeal, indemnity to sheriff, mechanics lien, attachment, replevin, and admiralty. Subdivision bonds, license and permit bonds, public official bonds, federal non-contract bonds, miscellaneous bonds. License and permit bonds are required by state or local law. To obtain a license or permit to engage in a particular business, i.e. contractors, car dealers, employment agencies, health spas, grain warehouses, etc. So did you get that one? In some places, the state or local law is requiring that people who just operate a small grain warehouse or a health spa have to get a bond to even get the permit to open their business.
Right.
So it goes even beyond the court. Like I said, they'll try to get you to sign a piece of toilet paper and sell it as a fiduciary instrument.
Okay, now help me out. Walk me through this, because as an investigative agency, one of the things we have to do is we have to apply for and receive a surety bond. All right, so we pay an insurance carrier. I don't even know what the premium is, a few hundred dollars per year, to guarantee, or the insurance company guarantees that we don't, we perform the services that we claim to perform, and if we ever are in violation of that, of course a bonding company can step in and make whole the issuing authority as well as the client. Now, mm-hmm. I understand that from a business perspective, but I don't understand how you could make commerce from lawsuits or
a traffic ticket.
Yes, yes.
Yeah. They know.
Go ahead.
Now they try to keep the knowledge to a limited few. And that way the word doesn't get out, so to speak, and a lot of people have what's called culpable deniability. So things are compartmentalized and information's tough to find, but with the biggest players and all, they're right up there in plain sight selling their products. So it's very simple. They turn a lawsuit or a traffic ticket or a minor drug possession or non-compliance with the local code, speeding, whatever, name your infraction, and they assign it a CUSIP number, which stands for the, where's my definition of CUSIP? I gotta look that up. It's a CUSIP or an AutoTrist number. It's automatic tracking numbers used to track your identity. And the CUSIP stands for Committee on Uniform Securities Identification Process. And that's basically your social security number with the dashes, and then the other number is with no dashes. Those are technicalities that we don't need to get, you know, tied up on. But that's how they do it. They assign a number to it, and they just turn it in. They bond it. They turn it into a fiduciary. They take the piece of paper, that little yellow traffic ticket you got. They got a copy too, and that's what they're turning into. Very simple. They just take a bond out on that paper, and they've come up. They've legalized the unlawful. They've legalized the scam. Obviously, it's not right what they're doing, and it's deceitful. They're making all kinds of money selling that bond that you take out to do your business. Two things. Number one, it should not be required. If you wanted to do that, God bless you. You should absolutely have nothing to do with requirements, because guess what? The insurance companies own the government, and they're forcing you to buy their product. It's like Obamacare. I don't believe that you should have to do that. If you wanted to, great. It's free, freedom. Go for it. But it should not be required. And the second thing is, they're trading that bond on the open market from one entity back to another and making all kinds of money on that bond, on your trade name, so to speak, on the open marketplace. And they call it mortgage-backed securities and mutual fund investments. This is what's floating the entire economy right now. This is why the courts are so desperate to suck in anybody and everybody they can. I talked to somebody who worked on the inside for the state of Virginia, and she left because it was so ungodly corrupt. She said the insider term that they use, it's called protracting, and that means dragging it out as long as possible. And these bonds on these cases accrue all kinds of interest along the way. It gives them more time to trade them, and it's not that difficult for them to do. They just had to pass a few statutes that says it's okay. What do you think the attorneys in the legislature are going to do? You don't really get to be any part of the three branches of government unless you're an attorney now. It's very rare, or a big businessman. And I wish this wasn't true, because we need some average, ordinary people. I'd rather have just the farmer up the road running this nation with common sense than the control freaks and the world globalists that are in there in both political parties. And may I remind people, very important to remember, that while we're on both political parties, are not parties anymore. They're corporations. And there's anybody who tells you it's a political party is either mistaken, they haven't realized yet what's happened, or they're working for the enemy. If they're in the system, they know full well, people at the highest level know what's going on. They've incorporated not only the political parties, they've incorporated your local town and state government. That's how they're getting away with it, is the fact that this is the ramification of letting your government become incorporated. Once they became an incorporation, and look it up, I doubted it. I looked it up. Monroe County Sheriff's Department, Monroe County, New York. I went to Manta, yep, privately incorporated in 1980-something, letters of incorporation unknown. And they were right on lines admitting that they are incorporated. So once you incorporate a governmental entity, it no longer exists to serve the people. It's not going to. It's now a private corporation. It's going to sell shares in itself to foreign investors. It's going to make fiduciary instruments out of everything they can do, especially the courts. And it's going to exist to not serve the people anymore. It's going to exist to serve itself. And that's where we stand right now with a self-serving government and a self-serving court, privately incorporated, operating as a private entity. They're like, hey, we're a corporation now. We legalized it. If the people are too stupid to figure it out, well, screw them. I mean, that's their attitude, and that's really wrong, because we're not supposed to spend our whole lives chasing around corrupt government, you know, representatives, for lack of a worse word. But, that shouldn't be our full-time occupation. We should be able to enjoy life, have positive things, enjoy our marriage, our farm, our life, our business, occupation, hobbies, whatever. But they got us so comfortable in that comfort zone that now we've let some really serious trouble get in place, and it's time to try to reverse it. We're not revolutionaries, we're restorationists. We want to turn back a lot of this modern tyranny. That's why I don't like people using the word Trump revolution. I mean, if it's what we want it to be, it should be a restoration. So I want to make sure we're not called revolutionaries or anything like that. It would not be accurate, and it would not be right. So, but remember, people, the Democrat corporation, Republican national corporation, Trump knew this when he came in. He knew he was coming on to be a CEO of a private corporation called the United States of America, which is also incorporated, and the Republican National Committee, which is a corporation now. Everything's incorporated. That's the problem. Your local town court's incorporated. Most of your counties are incorporated. Almost all your little towns are incorporated. There's a few that are not, scattered throughout the country. But generally speaking, the vast majority of towns, counties, and state governments, as well as the federal, are all private corporations now. They turned our government into a business, is what they did. And this is why it drives me nuts when people say the country needs to be run like a business. No, it doesn't. It needs to be run like a public service. That's why we used to call them public servants, because it's supposed to be a service to the people and do get paid. I don't mind if they get paid a lot of money. That's great if they're doing good work. I'd love to have a good solid making, just to help them invest and rebuild and make society better. The society, the fictitious entity called society, the infrastructure, is broken down now completely. None of the money is going back into our country. It's all basically trickling up. That's why I say there's no such thing as trickle-down economics. It looks like trickle-up economics to me, unless you're working for the system. So back to the courts, they're requiring bonds to open a health spa or a grain warehouse? I mean, that's absurd. And then selling them on the open market as mortgage-backed securities. And people can look this stuff up on the Internet. I gave you all the websites earlier. But it's so important that we don't give the enemy the language. We are a republic, not a democracy. Society cannot be a victim. It's a fictitious entity. No victim, no crime. The jury has every right to ignore the instructions from the judge. So it's going to take courage and activism for people to affect any type of restorational change, you know, change for the better, but kind of with an eye on, look, if Trump just went in there and started repealing everything, that's what needs to be done. I mean, there's nothing I want him to do going forward with giving us more programs and more stuff. That's just bigger government, and that's socialism, and that's communism. You know, a lot of the things Jeff Sessions does, I'm not against it because he's too conservative. He's too liberal. The drug war is highly communistic, and it's leading to a lot of these court cases. The courts are overflowing with drug cases from people who really didn't hurt anybody. They just got possession of a small amount of drugs. Maybe that happens two or three times, and then you're in big trouble. And all of a sudden, the courts are full. They're making tons of money. The private prisons are making tons of money, incarcerating. The judges' pension funds making a ton of money. At the expense of the people. So I would like to see just everything just start to get repealed, including the three-letter agencies, most of these statutes that claim that society can somehow be a victim. I mean, heck, I had an agent of the state, a former parole officer, tell me that it really drove him nuts, and he didn't like it when on the police report, where it would say victim, and then there was a little space where you write in the name of the person who was the victim, the police officers or whoever the trooper would write in society. That fictitious entity we were just talking about earlier. And he even worked for the state, and he said, you know, that's not right. The society cannot be a victim. And he said that before I brought up any of this stuff, so he was already thinking that, you know, and that. So we got to talking for a long time. But he worked in the system and didn't like it. So, and that's one of the problems, is a lot of the good people in the system are being put out to pasture, retired early, sometimes threatened, and we're winding up with the most, you know, let's say tyrannical and dictatorial and oppressive, you know, local regimes at the local basis. I don't know about you guys, but right now I worry a lot more about our own government and the aggression against people like Gary Hunt, Pete Santilli, Clive and Bundy. Still go up that trail. He's been in jail. The women are running the farm and trying to go back and forth to prison to visit Clive. Remember Clive and Bundy, the cattle standoff. I mean, this is why the court's so important, that people pay attention to the courts. This is where it finally all comes down to play. Sure, they got their cattle back, and he walked away a free man, but then they scooped him up a couple years later, and now he's facing major charges. They haven't let him out of jail. He's sitting in there as if he were a violent criminal. Nobody was hurt in that taking back of that cattle in Nevada. It was completely victim. What a great victory. What a great, it reflected so well on the Patriots. Nobody fired a shot. Nobody got hurt, except a few of the people on our side who got slammed around by the government agents. So, once again, no victim, no crime. Let Clive and Bundy out. Come on, Mr. Trump, Mr. Sessions. Well, Clive and Bundy has to go home. He made a stand on taking his private property back from government agents who had stolen it. And they were killing the cows on the spot. I mean, he took back his own property from an out-of-control government, and now we're going to let him rot in the court and in jail. It's so many fair-weather patriots, and this is why, once again, back to the beginning, I encourage people to be an activist. You have to care about people you've never met before, because guess what? If they're not free, you're not free.
Very well said. Eric, is there any way that people can come out from under this? Anything that an individual can do to remove, that is part of the court process for whatever reason, to remove themselves from being set up to be made money off of?
And isn't that the sovereign citizen? Go ahead.
It's difficult to remove your, quote-unquote, remove yourself from the system on an individual basis. Anything you do with the courts has to require groups of people and activism. That's why I'm so big on the courtroom observers. You got to go to court, make sure you got a group of people, friends and family, even if it's for something small. It makes a really big statement, and they won't be able to erase the record if you say something like, where's the proceeds from my performance and payment bond, Judge? I need to see those records before we can go any further. This case is bonded. I need the information and the profits and proceeds from the bid bond, the performance bond, and the payment bond, please. And I'm here to close to have the charges deducted from my account and close my account. And notice how when you go to court, you're not accused, you're charged. you're charged with this, you're charged with that. The charges are, those are monetary charges. They never use the word accused. You see how we got to take back the language? Usually be in court if you're accused of doing something. They're not. They're coming there and they're charging you. And they say charges, and they got people to think that a charge is the same as a criminal accusation. It's nothing of the sort. So it's so important that we get to take the language back and don't let them start brainwashing us into believing society can be a victim or any of this other stuff. So what can people do? You got to do it in numbers if you're going to try to do it. It's more important that you try to educate your neighbors and try to, on a larger scale, try to take back your county, and the first thing you'd have to do is unincorporate. That would be number one. There is a movement called the self-governing county. You only need 2,500 acres, which is 4 square miles of land, to create your own county. You file a charter with the Secretary of State, and your charter says we are a constitutional common law county. Spell it out. No victim, no crime. There won't be any drug war in this county. There won't be any taxes or a need for a driver's license. Set out the parameters. If it's not extremely oppressive on any race of people, I mean, who's going to argue with it? You're just exerting your freedom. 4 square miles, you could get 20 farmers with a couple hundred acres each and come up with that land. It doesn't have to be in a circle or a square. It could be strung out like a finger, but just as long as it's connecting. And start your own county. It's called the self-governing county. We're going to be introducing some more information on that on the website in coming weeks. We can talk about that in another. You raise the peace flag instead of the wartime flag or the admiralty flag, and you set your charter and you duly file it, and you elect a constitutional sheriff. Because the sheriff, now this is according to LegalDictionary.com, the sheriff is the chief peace officer in a county or subdivision, period. It doesn't say except if the state police come around and, oh, but those feds are higher and the CIA is the highest. They've built this pyramid of obedience that they've taken reality and flipped it upside down. Once again, like your son said, upside down. That's exactly what they've done. The sheriff is the chief peace officer in a county or subdivision. It is up to him if a federal agency comes in and pushes people around. And many sheriffs around the country have stood up to the feds, and I think it's called the 10th Amendment Center, has example after example of that. And I can give you those later, but it'll take up too much time from what we're doing now. But bottom line is the power rests in the courts. Don't go to court alone. Go with a group of people, no matter what it's for. Require they give you the information, profits, and proceeds on the performance payment bond. Oh, and how about that 1099 tax form that you filed, Judge, on that money that you just made? You know they're not filing and paying the taxes on that money. So these are the interesting things you could bring up in court. Be professional and be polite. Don't contempt the court. Don't argue and use crazy words. We're professional. Activism requires a delicate dance. You want to do as much as you can without going so far that you're going to get yourself locked up. So I encourage people to do, once again, something they can do is, well, if we can get it posted up again, and we will. Be persistent, people. They're hoping you're going to drop it and go away and say, we just can't get that flyer. Keep going back to courtroomwatch.com until that flyer is up there and reposted. We'll have it back up probably before the night is over. My friend Daniel, I think, is listening right now, and we'll get on that right away. But look what happens. Twice now, we put a jury nullification flyer up online, and both times they blocked it to a 404 error. And it's not our fault because we keep redoing it. But we're going to do it again. So I encourage people to stay determined. Freedom's not free. You got to do something for freedom almost every day or at least a couple times a week. I mean, keep a stack of jury nullification flyers on the front seat of your car. I read it in this broadcast earlier tonight. Replay it, write it down, print it out, and take it out to the streets. The best place to go and the best time, once again, if you want to have really effective activism and affect solutions in your community, is call the courthouse. Ask them when jury selection day is. Go there that morning. Pass it out to everybody in line just before the doors of the courthouse open and let them get educated. Don't bring up any particular specific cases and names because they'll say you tainted the jury pool. Just pass out that flyer. It's very general. It doesn't talk about any names or specific cases. It just gives them the comfort that they know they can do the right thing and with a clear conscience send somebody home even if they technically broke the statute. And don't submit to the fear from the judge. That's probably the most important thing I think anybody ever told me. An old woman in Oregon told me, she said, don't submit to the fear. And that's got to be our attitude, because once we submit to the fear, and if you're too scared to pass out flyers, well, heck, you don't have any business complaining about, just be a slave and enjoy it.
man. How far have we gone?
Eric, we have a few minutes left. I want to ask you this. You mentioned the sheriffs, and I believe that it's still the same here in Pennsylvania. Is this why sheriffs have had certain arrest powers taken away from them, or at least allowed that to happen? Because I believe that here in Pennsylvania, they don't have powers of arrest unless they have a warrant.
No, that's changed.
Okay.
And it's county by county, I believe.
Yeah, there's nothing to
yeah, well, they
give an indicator that
the state has no right, what lawful right, to take the power away from the sheriff, and they've tried to do that by state statute, I believe, successfully in Connecticut, which apparently has no more sheriffs. They only have state police and local code enforcement agents, and that is a nightmare for free people. Because that was a very, very, very bad precedent. So I highly encourage people, get your county unincorporated. Make sure you always retain your sheriff. Make sure that sheriff is talking about constitutional restrictions on government warrants. If you got an arrest, you better have a warrant. If you want to steal private property, respect people's private property. The counties have no lawful right, I don't care what they passed in the legislature, to steal people's private homes that have been in their family for decades under these bizarre and absurd tax foreclosures. That's not, think about that. People are losing their homes, their farms, having to move, sell out of state, move into a little apartment because they can't afford the property taxes. Are you kidding me? This country was founded on a tax revolution and private property rights. Where have we, like you just said, how far have we have gone? So I'm encouraging everybody to become an activist, do something, get out of the feel-good frame of mind. It's not really comfortable at times, but guess what? The truth will set you free, and once again, you'll feel really good. If you help one person, it's better than entertaining a million people or making $1 million. So that's what we try to do as activists, is just help one case at a time. Don't get overwhelmed with the fight to, you know, restore the freedom, so to speak. Pass a few flyers out here, keep a stack on your car, post them at the coffee shop. Student union bulletin boards at the universities is a great idea. Send out emails to the libertarian organizations at every college. Let them know about the organizations that you like. If you enjoy Courtroom Watch, great, or whatever your thing is, get it out there. Start networking. You, the younger people there listening, use your social networking skills to spread the word of freedom. Get the word out there. Hey, let's take the language back from the communists who are occupying our country. And I know it goes higher than that up to the globalists, but let's just, for the lack of a better word, and get the word out there and use your creative skills, whatever you have. You know, you can make some phone calls, you can send emails, you can post flyers, but everybody has to be an activist or we're in big trouble. They just locked up multiple reporters like Gary Hunt for posting public information that was already out there. So anyway, we got 500 people right at the beginning to, posted as well, and they can't come get 500 people, and I'm sure that's up to thousands now, because everybody I know has been posting and reposting and reposting. There's no way they can get us all. So once again, you got to get over the fear, have some courage. Winston Churchill said, he did some things I did not like, okay? He's not my favorite, but he had one good, and he said, courage is the foremost of all the virtues, for without it, you may never get to experience any of the others.
Amen to that. Eric Hughes Jones, you've brought us to the end of the program. I got to tell you, this has been an education, a pleasant education, an education. This is amazing to hear everything you said. And this started out with Gary Hunt, his incarceration, or a journalist being
kidnapped.
I saw the word that you used, kidnapped. I guess by truly that is the case. My word.
It really is. It's very sad.
Wow.
And so people, try to care about this. This is if once again the most important thing. Don't submit to the fear. And if they're not free, we are not free. So help. Try to help everybody and keep Gary in your prayers, and we'll have information posted up there. Make some phone calls, send some emails on his behalf saying, you know, this is an unlawful, you cannot legalize the unlawful and start arresting Patriot reporters. This is obviously becoming a pattern, and we encourage everybody to support what the Hagmans do and what I do, and thank you, everybody. Great time. I appreciate it.
You're not an attorney, right? You're not an attorney?
No, just a researcher.
Doggone it. The doggone good one, let me tell you. This is fascinating.
And I just got a note from John. He'll be joining us again on 17th
of April. I was thinking about taking the bar exam, but from what I understand, the three tenets of the New York bar that you have to swear to is, number one, protect the judge, number two, protect the opposing attorney, and number three is serve the client. You're last on the list, and so I don't know if I want to take that over.
Wow. And you're coming back with us. Ladies and gentlemen, Eric Hughes-Jones will be back with us later in the month. I just want to say thank you so much. What an education. And I guarantee you, a lot of people are going to be digging around saying, ah, this can't be right in their heads, you know. But,
yeah, they will.
But thank you. Thank you, my brother, for getting the word out and for being the patriot that you are. We really appreciate you, and we appreciate your gift of time tonight.
Well, thanks for the place to be able to put this out to the public, and I really appreciate what you guys do. Thank you again.
Wow. Well, we can't wait for you to come back, and it's going to be a blast. In the meantime, folks, wow. Again, my head is spinning right now, but Eric Hughes-Jones can be reached at courtroomwatch.org or through courtroomwatch.org. Hey, I was Clifton Springs, New York. That's where you're at, right?
Well, that's where I just moved from, and I picked up a little lot out in the country because I wanted to get out kind of to the woods and have a little more country lifestyle than I had before. So I'm living out in the hills, northern Appalachia, western New York, and it's nice enough, but of course we do the battle with tyranny everywhere. We'll get into that later.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, brother. Thank you so very much. God bless you. Stay safe, and we'll be directing people to your website until your next appearance with us. Thank you again for your gift.
Thank you.
God bless you.
Thank you, everybody.
All right.
Appreciate it. Bye-bye.
All right. Joe, that was a fascinating interview, man. The information there. I've got a 30 years experience and an equal number of years in the courtroom. Are you telling me, did I hear him right?
You heard him right. Yeah, it's very strange. Okay. You and me talking off air, I told you I spent hours and hours looking at this stuff, probably spent a few weeks research looking at this throughout the years we've been on air. It's very confusing. I still don't understand it. I understand basically what they're saying and that they're making money off of us and from our birth to our death. And how they do it, and the admiralty laws, and what laws are we under? Are we a corporation? It's very technical, but it also opens the doors to a number of explanations of why things happen the way they do, contrary to the laws we were set up to be governed by. And we'll have some good questions for April 17th when he comes back.
Yeah, now, folks, keep your eyes on the surveillance issues. Remember what I said last week, 10 days ago. Things will be coming out of Washington that's just going to make your socks roll up and down. This is part of it. Thank you so much, ladies and gentlemen, for listening. Please support our sponsors. Remember Hagman Marketplace, rolling that back out again. God bless you. Please stay safe. Thank you, Global Star. Thank you, John. Thank you, JD. God bless you.